Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway. There's a big one down the bottom this weekend in the Premier League. Leicester host Everton, and can Newcastle United do Liverpool a favour? Hi, everyone. It's the Black Friday special, Football Ramble.
that was
no
last
charge
Friday,
again.
Wasn't it?
No, Black Friday's today.
Is it? I thought it was last Friday.
Every Friday.
When's Cyber Monday? When's our Cyber Monday show, Marcus?
We'll do it this Monday if you want.
There are actually two Black Fridays in a year, because the last Friday before Christmas is known as Black Friday within the world of stand-up, because it is awful.
It is really?
The worst day of the year.
Isn't it like Black Eye Friday, the first Friday before Christmas? That's when everyone has a fight.
It's probably the same thing. I imagine Black Friday in a comedy club leads to Black Eye Friday outside of one often. So there we go. Bit of education for you.
Indeed, yes. Well, you'll be enjoying your half-priced ramble today, of course, everybody. We enjoyed some Champions League this week, didn't we, chaps?
We did.
Talk to me about Jose Mourinho's ball boy.
He's very into him, wasn't he? Yeah. Sorry, that's a terrible turn of phrase. But he's very into him. He was very into him. Yeah, it's fine.
Yeah, wasn't he saying that he was like a really good ball boy himself?
Yeah. Jim.
14, 16. Yeah. That was a quite storied ball boy career there, Josie. Never gone on about that before.
Well, I mean, I know what it takes to be a good ball boy.
Yeah. I was one for an embarrassingly long time.
Yes, indeed.
Did you see Josie Mourinho was doing like high fives with every single last mascot in the tunnel?
Yeah.
He's on a charm offensive. You can't deny.
Oh my goodness. Yeah.
And I'm not exactly buying it. It's going to get offensive.
Yeah.
It's going to be charm, then offensive. Right now we're in charm.
Yeah.
We must fear the offensive over the horizon.
The thing is, what is it? Is this the third show in a row we've started talking about old Jose? He's got us over a barrel, hasn't
he? Box office, isn't he? He just is. Like, however much he can be tedious, and however much... you know, we all know what he's about, and we can see him playing his mind games. People just love him. Like, the amount of coverage on him going to Spurs has been phenomenal. It's basically every news outlet just had pretty much most stories were about him in the few days after he was announced. And when we used to do a show on the radio in the US, if you mentioned him, the phones lit up, didn't they?
It was just
people love him.
Said that before, he is box office. And
it's like he's negging the world, isn't it?
But has he come back with a smile on his face?
I think he has.
Really?
I think, honestly, that there might be he might have changed more than perhaps I first thought.
Was he waiting for Manchester United to really tank, to sort of go, look, I wasn't that bad, was I?
No, I think
that second place finish looks a lot better now.
Yeah, it really does.
I think that, without going over old ground again, but I think that he said himself he fell out of love with it all, and now he's back at Spurs. He's been handed this sort of olive branch, if you will, but he's changed his coaching staff. And actually, I think we have to wait till the summer really to see because I think Mourinho is on this charm offensive. He did give the ball boy an assist. Now, let's be honest,
you can't do that, can you?
You can't. But if you're what would be the ball boy, 10 years old, something like that, if you're a young lad being the ball boy, and Jose Mourinho says you got an assist for that Champions League goal.
But isn't that like counting the charity shield in a treble?
Yeah, it's quite fast and loose with the veneer of awesomeness when it comes to
indeed.
Particular achievements.
Very apologetic to Eric Dier.
Yeah, which makes a lot of sense, because taking him off after half an hour, we all know that he really likes Dier, so that could have been absolutely heartbreaking for him. But
he can occasionally look like a ball boy as well, the way he plays.
Yeah, that's true. Of course, elsewhere, Liverpool drew with Napoli, didn't they?
They did.
Dries Mertens with a lovely finish.
Lovely finish.
Yeah, but they have to go to Salzburg, don't they, on the last day?
Yeah.
The last day of the Champions League to make sure they can squeeze through. Well, with old... Jesse Marsh in charge of RB Salzburg. Jim, you never know, one of those stirring team talks he could give in English and German combined, which of course Klopp probably does quite regularly himself.
Yeah, I mean, it seems inefficient.
Well, you say that. I mean, they were 3-0 down and they got it back to 3-3. Yeah. They did lose 4-3, admittedly. But of course, Chelsea were involved in the Champions League as well.
Yeah, and what an absurd goal to concede for them. You must be like, oh, come on.
I know. All the chances that Valencia missed in that game. Chelsea
host. Score with a cross.
Yeah, exactly. They host West Ham, of course, this weekend. Now, it was a good point for Chelsea, ultimately, because the chances Valencia had, they should have put Chelsea away. Mm. However, Chelsea rode their luck. They're still, young team, and Lampard's obviously a young coach and not experienced as a manager in the Champions League. So it has to go down as a good point, of course. They're still in the competition. And you'd fancy them to beat, is it Lille they've got?
Their final
group game, yeah. I said, when I was talking about Liverpool, I said on the last day of the Champions League, that's because the last day of the Champions League they were involved in last time, but it happens on about the end of May when they're in the final. So their last group game, of course.
Mm, indeed. It's interesting, isn't it? I think we're sort of, with Chelsea in the Champions League, obviously it's a completely different proposition to the Premier League. And Frank Lampard was managing Derby in the Championship last season. So it's a huge step up for him that's actually perhaps gone under the radar a little bit in terms of his... him cutting his teeth in the competition, and I think he's doing well.
Well, think about, I mean, Tammy Abraham, who looked like he had a really painful injury. Mm. Hopefully there's nothing serious there. And the likes of, Mason Mount and so on, they were in the Championship as well. It's a remarkable rise. Yeah. But Chelsea, they're so entertaining. Whether if they're scoring goals or conceding chances, with this Chelsea side, it's just not boring.
Yeah, and especially because they brought so many young players through for the first time since we've been doing this podcast. So there was that stat, wasn't there, for a long time that like John Terry was the only youth player they brought through in a long, long time. They're likeable, and I don't know what to do with that.
is this why Ajax and Valencia are still, could go through next month? This is exactly why. You can be likeable, but you're going to give every other team a big chance.
That's right.
Going through the
Indeed. Well, what about Kovacic scoring his first goal for Chelsea?
He should have had his second as
well. I know, it was absolutely remarkable.
Yeah, I love that, when a player's face just lights up and they cannot believe what's happening to them. But then, I think because he'd already scored his first goal for Chelsea, he was just so giddy when he had that second chance, which was pretty good, that he just overthought it.
Yeah. Mm. But was it his first goal in his whole
football
career?
Yeah, even in the playground at school. Well, this wasn't that sort of player.
I don't think they classify that as your career, unless you're Romario, of course.
Well, if ball boys can get assists, then...
But they can't.
Who knows?
Brilliant, mate.
No, sorry. It's his first goal in his Chelsea career. Just having a look. I don't know where. I think the commentator might have. Maybe I've missed.
Yeah, got caught up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but it was a great goal though. It was a good point as well. But they play West Ham in the league now. Last time round, they lost to Manchester City, of course, but put in a decent performance. And to have kept more possession than Manchester City is quite something. Mm. Like that, it shows you actually a little bit more of their versatility, because I don't really put down this Chelsea side as a massive possession-based side.
No.
They can obviously keep, as they've demonstrated at the Etihad the other game last week, that they can keep possession.
Yeah, they're not a team that strangle you.
No, exactly. No.
But they managed to play well, but then let you back into the match later on. So
yeah, but
that's what I've got to worry about.
Generous,
anyways.
Generous hosts.
Mm. Yeah, but that's it, though, isn't it? I know they're very different. They're different competitions and different opposition. But the way Chelsea played against Manchester City, it did take a fortuitous De Bruyne goal. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
The ball was given away, but it was still a slice of luck there. And then Mahrez. It was a bit of quality, who was it? Aspilicueta? I can't quite remember who let him get onto his left. Yeah, he was slightly disappointed. But a very different Chelsea, and a very different game, of course, to the one against Valencia, where they were shipping chances, but not goals, because Valencia couldn't take them. But I think they're good value. And against Chelsea at home, you would surely back them to win that one.
Yeah, Frank Lampard Jr. taking on West Ham. He's going to be up for that, isn't he?
Well, you'd think so.
the stick he got back in the day, do you think he'll be carrying that through?
Oh, but come on, as a player, he got plenty. I think that's probably... Or do you think that's still lingering away?
I wonder, because he did... He was treated quite badly there, wasn't he? And he will probably get some stick from the away fans. I mean, he's very professional, isn't he? I just wanted to say Frank Lampard Jr. Do you all remember that when he was very weird.
There's only two Frank Lampards. Tammy Abraham's been saying that he's been watching a load of top strikers on YouTube. Lewandowski, K Kane, Sergio Aguero, Roberto Firmino. He's been busy on YouTube, so let's see what can happen at the weekend.
Well, it's funny, isn't it, when you see younger players like Tammy Abraham, their minds are so much more open to strikers from all around the world because of incidents. Yeah. So I know this is not anything new, but if you think of English strikers...
Paul Kitson.
Yeah. Let's not name any more English strikers. but if English strikers in years gone by, managers would have said, play like this striker. Or you know, you would have had a more limited selection, perhaps. Whereas I can remember, who was it now? A lot of young English players, they'll say, I watch Ronaldinho. I grew up watching Ronaldinho. I grew up watching these types of players. And it's hugely beneficial to be able to like I said, there was one or two of the younger English players who wouldn't know the likes of, say, Paul Gascoigne. And you know, I might think, oh, that's a bit annoying. Why do you not know? But why should they know some of these players?
Hector Bellerin really wanted to join Arsenal because they were the team he played as on FIFA.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
That's strange, isn't it?
That's cool.
Yeah. But with Abraham, though, I hope the injury... I've not, at the time of recording, not heard any update there, but he's having a blisteringly good season, of course.
Maybe Roberto can watch some better goalkeepers. Oh, my God.
Well, West Ham need a win here, and Pellegrini is under huge pressure.
Yeah. I mean, if you were Frank Lampard, would you just go, just shoot from distance? It used to work for me.
Yeah.
If you get a deflection on it, it'll probably go in.
Worked for Kevin De Bruyne last week.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we're looking at surely a Chelsea win there.
Yeah, you'd think so.
Yeah, indeed, yeah. Well, up the road in Newcastle, they face Manchester City. Right. And I asked this question already, Peter, and I'll ask it again. Can Newcastle give Liverpool a helping hand in the title race?
No.
I thought that's what you might say. Man City drew 1-1 at home with Shakhtar, of course, in the Champions League. They're through to the next round.
Yeah.
I think people look at that and go, what? They only drew?
Yeah.
But then they are through.
They are.
A lot of teams aren't. British teams aren't.
Are Manchester City showing signs of not... But bearing in mind how good they've been, is there just an element, Jim Campbell, I put it to you, that they are, I don't know, it's not...
Concentrating on the Champions League?
No, well, I wouldn't have said that. Just that it's not as all guns blazing as it was. Or are we are we looking at Liverpool there and getting lost in the Liverpool lights?
I think undoubtedly, you know, I suppose we spoke about this before, haven't we? But City were... 7 points or whatever it was behind Liverpool at a similar stage last season. So perhaps we are judging them a little bit harshly against their own standards. But I know what you mean. There's less of a sort of a fizz about them of late. Do you know what I mean? I suppose when it gets to winter, when it gets to this really, really busy Christmas period, I suppose maybe it's a tactical thing from Guardiola, which is like, let's perhaps conserve some energy in games for a bit because we've got to get points out of these games.
And let's not forget how busy Liverpool are over the next month.
Yeah.
I mean, that is going to take some game management and just man management, and they're just going to have to rotate. Man City probably don't have those pressures quite so much, probably. So it's going to be a bit of a worry for them. So we might be seeing a very, very different Premier League table after Christmas.
Very different?
Very different.
What, Leicester top?
Leicester top.
Oh. Yeah. Well, they would only move up one place, so it's not that. Well, Sergio Aguero, he's going to be out for a few weeks, which is good news for Newcastle, isn't that?
It's my fantasy league team, so hang on. Make a few adjustments.
Change your captains, everybody.
Yeah. I think, Aguero generally tends to miss a chunk of each season and there, doesn't he? And City is still that, as you say, that slick oiled machine that we've seen.
Yeah.
Slick oil funded machine that we've seen. Jesus, he's all right, isn't he? They'll probably be okay.
He's not too bad. What about Newcastle themselves? They lost 2-0 away at Aston Villa this week. Conor Hourihan scored for Villa.
Yeah, I wasn't enjoying Steve Bruce love going his way that past few weeks. From you guys, you know, they beat Bournemouth, they beat West Ham, and West Ham are obviously in no kind of state. So give Steve Bruce the props when he wins.
Yeah.
But that was an unspeakably terrible performance.
Yeah, well,
just passive.
I did like this. Sky Sports ran a headline saying Hourihan haunts Steve Bruce, and then I just thought to myself, there's some sort of Halloween situation with Brucey going, oh no, you're in my house now.
I just cannot imagine Steve Bruce giving like a rousing halftime team talk. That's the problem, isn't it?
No, I mean, if you could just explain to Almiron the slower he runs the worstest touches and just sort of go, just keep running at full pelt all of the time.
That's backward,
Miguel,
that, isn't it?
It really is. If he's got time to think about it, he messes it up something chronic.
To be fair, we haven't mentioned Brucey for a little while. Probably because we've recently finished doing the live shows and he got his fair share there.
He got his fair
share.
He
certainly did.
But he was defending John Joe Shelby. Steve Bruce, wasn't he?
Well, John Joe Shelby can't defend, so I mean...
27-year-old John Joe Shelby.
That's ridiculous.
I learned that both he and Phil Jones are 27 this week. How has that happened?
Yeah.
Like, what fountain of youth are they swimming around
in? It was so sad. Did you see Phil Jones? Because he signed a new contract to Manchester United.
Right, yeah.
And when he did, he will be at the club for longer than 10 years, which, of course... people get a testimonial.
Yeah.
And he said, he wavered it because he went, I don't think anybody will turn up other than my mum and dad. And I was
Phil Jones, I don't like that at all.
That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh. Phil Jones, I'd turn up.
Yeah.
There's one. Your dad and me.
Yeah, if you want to put it on.
I'll play.
Yeah. Pete will come down.
I'll come down.
I mean, I'll be busy. But...
I'll be ball boy.
Get an assist. Yeah. Oh. Exactly, yeah.
Back on the Newcastle United Manchester. Yeah, okay, everything at the moment is go through Alisson Maximilian, and that's their only plan.
Yes.
And when he starts to tire, they put Carroll up top and just John whacks balls up top, which isn't the worst idea in the world when you've got that kind of that kind of height. But yeah, it's not looking great at the top. You're just kind of waiting for a dead ball and Kieran Clarke to do a header or something.
Can we dare to dream though and just think, you know, imagine Man City having one of those days at the office where it just doesn't quite click for them and the sort of defensive frailty that we've noticed maybe appearing. 1-0 Andy Carroll header. Could it happen?
I'll tell you what.
Beautiful.
It would have to happen after the 60th minute when he comes on.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, and before the 70th minute when he stretched it off.
Yes.
Some people have been saying that Andy Carroll should be starting. Why is he not starting?
He's just injured. He can't.
Yeah, I was going to say, surely
he's knackered.
Yeah.
But every match you see flashes. In that goal, in that game against Aston Villa, he chested a ball down and absolutely howitzed a volley. Straight at the keeper, admittedly. But it was a very, very exciting bit of work.
He's got a bit of...
save that for Roberto.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, they were there, weren't they? They won 3-2.
But this weekend, they'll go 2-0 down. It'll be like 2-0 at half-time.
Yep.
Brucey will just shuffle the players up top. It won't make a damn bit of difference. And again, the supply will just dry up from midfield and they'll just be going for dead balls and time-wasting and trying to just get a defender on the end of a ball, which is what's been happening for the last 3 or 4 weeks.
I'll tell you something, though.
A man truly, truly sick of his own football team.
What's happening, though?
I relate
but
to
everyone's
it,
going, oh, Bruce is doing all right. How many times do you reckon I've heard Bruce is doing all right, isn't he? Yeah. Bruce is doing all right.
Pete, what's your Twitter handle?
At Pete Donaldson.
Brucey's done all right.
Oh, Marcus.
Brucey's done all right.
I mean, where are they in the table?
They're down there.
14th.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's all right.
Yeah, thank you.
There we are, you see.
All right.
Considering
the teams that they've beaten, apart from like when they've raised themselves against
Tottenham Hotspur,
the teams that have beaten have been invariably having their own massive problems. So I worry about their Christmas period, so to speak, because we don't have any kind of depth or strength.
Wins against Spurs, strength, Manchester depth. United, West Ham.
Well,
it's not too shabby, Peter. Could Man City join that list? It seems unlikely.
Is it time for emails yet?
It is time for emails with Petey D.
Hey! Oh, not that one. That was the long one. That was going to upset you. Email show at footballrambledaily.com. And now Pete is reading it out. Well done.
Hang on. We have a longer version.
I know, right?
You kept that back.
Maybe you'll get it at the end. Jamie Whale. Hello, Jamie. Your chat about unexpected pairs of players that played together reminded me of the unexpected case of Micah Richards and Mo Salah.
Whoa.
The twisted fate occurring as Birmingham's first son and the future Egyptian king were both on loan at Fiorentina in early 2015. Yeah. I can't confirm whether this was a happy pairing, but stats indicate that they did pair up on the right side several times in that period, so there you go. More of these.
Yes.
I like these a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you want a quick quiz question, guys?
Of course we do.
All right then. Don't overthink it.
Okay.
Don't get stressed out. I'll be ramming this up in 10 seconds.
All right. Is it Paolo Maldini?
Can you name, this is from James, can you name the three players who've won back-to-back English top division titles representing two different clubs?
Mark Schwarzer.
Yes.
N'Golo Kanté.
Yes.
There's
one more.
There is one more.
Yeah.
Top flight or Premier League?
Ashley
top
Cole. Flight.
Top flight.
Eric Cantona.
Not Ashley Cole. It is Eric Cantona. Nice. You've got the three. There we go. Nice. I like that like, a little bit of trivia. People have been guessing. Yeah. We'll be guessing at home. Hello to Connor in Belfast. Hello, Ramblers. Long-time listener, many times emailer, first-time hearer of my name on the podcast, possibly. Anyway, I don't know if this is new news, but I was reading the other day that Keisuke Honda, Japanese footballer, has become the manager of the Cambodian international side. I just assume that Manchester United and other clubs have decided to ignore his numerous come-and-get-me tweets.
That's right.
Remember,
he was
tweeting. So he'd moved from playing to managing. But after looking at his Wikipedia, to my surprise, he's still playing at Chelsea's partner club, Vitesse Arnhem, and also managing the Cambodian national side.
What the hell?
No.
It's true. Apparently it's true.
Have you researched this?
I had a look.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
Did you have a good look? All right, fair play.
Have you got a laptop in front of you? No.
Yeah.
Because you refuse to get involved.
That's true. I'm old. I mean, how extensive was your search?
I think I typed
He's running a car company as well.
I checked the spelling that Connor... Connor got the spelling of his first name a bit wrong, so I checked that and that's about it. Anyway, Greg Williamson. After listening to today's pod, I couldn't help but you missed a delightful pun. When Pete was discussing Rafa Benitez and his time at Newcastle United, in particular an incident involving a Mike Ashley employee reheating his lunch, Jim stumbled through a comment. Rude about Rafa about Rafa not being able to resist managing the microwave, or as he should have said he couldn't resist micromanaging. I've spent 4 minutes typing this out and it's definitely not as funny as I thought it would be, yet here I am still hitting the send button.
And yet here Pete is reading it out on the show.
Well,
what
done.
What does it say about everyone involved?
Exactly. Short at footballrambledaily.com if you'd like to get in touch.
We've been nominated.
Whoa.
For an SFA, FSA award, haven't we, chaps?
Super Fair Animals Award.
Yay! Well, to be fair, you know, I might win that. But but Petey, I don't suppose, because you've got a laptop in front of you, you'd have the
there
URL for people.
Yeah, the FSA Awards 2019 with Be Gamble Aware. They've got a big, basically, competition where anyone can win. Who are we up against? Let's find...
Well, not any
don't plug them.
Yeah, don't plug them.
We're up against some losers.
They're all rubbish. But, yeah... Give it a Google. It's a little bit hard to find. Just
give
Google
it a Google.
FSA Award. Do you want me to give the full address?
Yes, please.
I can't because it's surveymonkey.co.uk. They've not invested in their own URL. So just search for the FSA Awards and get involved. Who should win Podcast of the Year? You know, it's the same usuals, but we never talk about
it. We never win.
We never talk about it. We never get anyone to do it.
Wait, get us a win here, people.
Get us a win. FSA Awards. Get involved.
FFS. Get us a win.
Stop confusing people.
Right, let's have a break. Welcome back to the preview show on Football Ramble Daily, sponsored by Betway, everybody. Right then, let's talk about Leicester City.
Yeah.
They host Everton. And they're going to win that, surely. Leicester, they're on for the league title, for my money. Jamie Vardy is having a brilliant season.
He really is.
He's 32 now. He's the top scorer in the Premier League with 12 goals. He was talking recently about his decision to retire from international football that has helped him keep his legs fresh.
Yes.
He was at his sprinting best against Brighton. He's only 32, so people still have a bit of pace at that age and so on.
Yes, 33 in January.
Okay.
If that changes anything in your mind.
Massively. There's the cliff edge. Yeah. But the way Vardy has been playing this season, he looks reinvigorated,
yes.
If that's the right word.
Which is funny because it's not like he ever had a dip, is it?
But no.
He has accelerated his form. It's clearly worked.
Yes, exactly, Jim. And at the age he is, it's like that he's getting faster and fitter as he gets older. And again, this man
and
bucks...
more of a shit.
Yeah, he bucks many trends, does Jamie Vardy. And he seems to be mugging off science in the process.
It's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. Did you see that interview we did where he was talking about how much he hates the gym?
Yes.
It doesn't make any sense, Jamie Vardy.
I know. It's a glorious anomaly.
You don't want a big Jamie Vardy, though, do you?
No.
Something gone terribly wrong.
Well, he said about the gym, he said that the most I've spent in the gym at Leicester is walking around saying, well done, lads, get those weights lifted. It's like, imagine the younger players trying to get fit, trying to do something, and Vardy's walking around eating a Mars bar.
Yeah, with his Red Bull.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just going, you... bunch of tossers, you'll never be as good as me. And there he is, top scorer in the Premier League.
He was talking about how his non-league career obviously hardened him up for the battle in the Premier League. And he was saying, I'll be honest, I used to enjoy it. They used to think that I'd be staying down and that is me done. But no chance, I'm getting back up and then you were having it, mate. How's about that one?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly.
I'm going to hurt you.
What is Vardy going to do after football?
I don't know.
He's just going like, to knock about the streets, like just bullying strangers.
I don't know. I could see him being like, right, I've retired now. I'm 36 or 37 or whatever. Now I'm going to, you know, win a gold medal at the Olympics or something because I fancy it.
He'll be a Duncan Ferguson-style enforcer on the bench.
Oh, do you think?
And he'll be there for 20 years and no one will be able to figure out how to get rid of him.
Yeah, that's it.
Because he could flip out at any moment. Ferguson's maintained his
position. But he's different to... Yeah, but with Big Dunk, though, he's obviously a very, very hard man.
Yeah.
And he's massive. Whereas Vardy, he's got that psychotic edge where you think... I reckon, could I have him in a fight? And you think, oh no, I don't know what he'd do. It would just be like some Tasmanian devil just kicking off.
If there was a Grand Theft Auto set in the UK, Jamie Vardy would be like the only character you could be in it.
I mean, there was, second, I think, DLC right? for...
You're taking on the wrong man there.
Like an best one. So.
Yeah, stop taking him on. Yeah. But Leicester's still going very strong under Rodgers with a lot of momentum.
I just love... They're surely everyone's second favourite team again, right? It's just they're such a likable team.
Well, Leicester City fans would probably still have them as their favourite team.
Okay.
There's a lot of likable teams. After Liverpool didn't manage to win the league, I think everyone's sort of like, oh, I'm sort of bored of that story now. I want to get involved with the Leicester glory again.
I want a sequel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it would be quite remarkable. I mean, Everton still look rather mediocre at best under
State of execution.
Yeah, there's talk that... David Moyes might get involved if they sack Silva.
I'm baffled by this because is getting David Moyes in better than keeping Marco Silva? I don't know it is, especially with like the sort of the kind of never go back element of the whole thing. It sort of screams like we might get relegated here. Let's kind of get someone. There was talk of Mark Hughes maybe as the other, which is very much a sort of like not far off
They
got Allardyce in. But at the same time, they're 16th. 4 points off Norwich in 18th. Maybe they are in a relegation battle and they've sort of subtly slipped into it.
Well, Moyes is clearly being touted, and we should say, of course, at the time of recording, Marco Silva's still in the job. Mm-hmm. But Moyes is being touted because, as you say, Jimmy's that sort of safe pair of hands. He knows the club, blah, blah, blah. But some Everton fans are saying, well, hang on a minute.
Yeah.
But it's a strange pattern that we see at Everton at the moment. They tried Roberto Martinez, didn't quite work out. You think someone who was tries to play a bit more expansive football, perhaps newer ideas than the likes of Allardyce and so on, and that didn't work out. Then they go for Koeman, again a manager who's obviously doing great work at the Netherlands, did well at Southampton. One or two people, myself included, would probably tout him as a future Barcelona manager. He's that type of guy. It didn't work out. Yeah, they get Allardyce in to steady the ship. Then they go, right, let's go back to that. Let's go back to the kind of more... Hopefully, some people think as a progressive manager who wants to play a bit of football and blah, 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 with Marco Silva, it's not working out. Where do they go? It's such an odd situation at Everton that they've tried this with various names, as I've just mentioned. They've thrown a lot of money at the club. They still find themselves not quite there. I think Allardyce, I think they finished eighth under Allardyce, which... You know, it isn't from Allardyce's point of view. Considering when he took over them, they were not doing very great well. That's okay. But Everton, they'll be looking at Wolves, and they'll be even looking at Leicester for crying out loud. Now I know they're in the shadow of Liverpool. The Everton fans won't thank me for saying that.
Liverpool so good they're sucking points away from Everton? Is that somehow happening?
But I think if you're in the same city with a club who are European champions, and okay, they haven't won the Premier League at the time of recording, Betway did pay out, Jim. They'll be thinking, "Come on, like." It's a bit like Man City fans for years, you know, when they got a bit of money and investment, you think, oh, hang on a minute here. Although slightly different situation, obviously. What do you think of Everton then? I mean, I'm waffling here, Jim. Help me out, brother.
Well, I don't think they know. You know what I mean? It's a very patchy squad that seems to be playing with real lack of direction. And also, again, as you were saying about Newcastle, Pete, they're quite passive a lot of the time. And I don't know. They've got this huge problem under Silva, which is they've not won a game when they've conceded first. They've not come back from behind to win, and that shows a real lack of sort of
character.
Spirit and character, doesn't it? And it's just a real problem.
Well,
it's just not working, is it?
And this stay of execution just doesn't help anybody, in my opinion.
It's funny, isn't it? I think because
there's no assistance at all.
I feel like this is about Unai Emery, and this has really changed in maybe the last, I don't know, 5 years or so. It used to be that people would lament how quickly managers were changed and how it, you know, it was like, oh, the game's gone absolutely mad and how can anyone be expected to work under that pressure? But I think all three of us in this room, we're looking at probably Emery, Silva and Pellegrini, as we mentioned on the last show, thinking it's sort of inevitable that it's going to go. There's no way they're going to turn this around. And it's, I don't know, it's just interesting that has changed. But I think we're probably right. You know, the modern mindset, it just suits how the Premier League is now. And I just... It's very rare that a manager turns it around from this situation. To be fair to Silva, he's talking about how, you know, he plans to do that. He plans to win the fans over and turn it around. And
he's not going to say the opposite.
No, of course he's not. But
he's not going to do a Granit Xhaka.
But he is at least acknowledging that the fans don't like him at the moment.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. But I do find it funny that two of those managers, two of those clubs, West Ham and Everton, I mean, Moyes is being linked to both of them.
Yeah, Moyes back at West Ham, that'd be interesting.
It would be. I mean, what's he done to earn this?
At West Ham, I mean, so since leaving Everton, he obviously didn't do too well at Manchester United, but I mean, tricky act to follow, fair to say. Was relegated with Sunderland, did okay with West Ham, did come in and sort of steady the ship a bit.
Well, that's what a lot of people, a lot of West Ham fans on Twitter are saying. Like, this is as bad as the previous manager ever was. This is as bad as David Moyes ever was.
Well, he's also sat by Real Sociedad as well, David Moyes, yeah. I mean, it's funny to think that Moyes he's 56, he's the same age as Jose Mourinho.
Yeah.
Wow.
You wouldn't think that, would you? That Moyes, you would be tempted to put him in that bracket of sort of Pardew, Allardyce, Mark Hughes,
Jones.
Yeah, where you sort of think surely his time in the Premier League's done.
All right, yeah.
But then I don't know with more.
Maybe he just really interviews really well.
Yeah, maybe
he's,
just
well, he's more friendly with chairman than we. Imagine.
Or may, or it could even just be that it's a lazy press story. It's just easy to
leave. Yeah, probably not likely.
Probably it. Although I'd say Moyes has more than some of those aforementioned managers, but we shall see. Southampton facing Watford, a big one down the bottom. And Watford's results in their last six are slightly more encouraging than Southampton's, although I think Southampton will probably win this one. They've had three draws and a win in their last six, Watford. But still, though, they look very poor at times. Yeah. Southampton's performances since the 9-0 have been a little better, but they've lost four in their last six with two draws. And Watford are by far the lowest scorers in the league. Eight goals in 13 matches. Southampton have the worst defence, having conceded 31 and 13, but of course, there was that 9-0 as well. But I think the way Southampton have been playing... I say the way they've been playing, that performance against Arsenal, certainly. I just have a bit more hope for Southampton and with Hasenhüttl rather than what's going on at Watford.
Yeah, absolutely. They were interesting against Arsenal. Arsenal helped by sort of just letting them into the game a lot. But the thing is they should have won that game because they missed a lot of silly chances. And that's a huge problem, isn't it? If you've only scored 13 goals so far and you're shipping a lot, you can't be an idiot in front of goal, shall we say. You've got to put those chances away, and it's going to... That is the biggest problem they have to fix. Because, you know, if that game's anything to go by, they're not shy of creating those chances, just sticking them away. I thought they'd do a bit better than they have this season, I have to say.
Well, Southampton.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought they would do all right. I mean, perhaps... What needs to happen there? I mean, if you think Luke interviewed Will Hughes and Watford have tanked, I mean, West Ham were not doing too well, but he interviewed Declan Rice. He just interviewed the kit man there. It's not going very well. If Luke, you know, being the Portsmouth fan he is, should get an interview with someone at Southampton.
Yeah,
see him off.
Absolutely.
Kingbreaker.
Yeah. They'll lose 10-0 if old Morsy goes down and has a chat.
They kept their badge in the end, didn't they, Watford? They looked at loads of designs and then they just decided to go with the one they already had.
You know what? We'll keep
a waste of time.
We'll keep this elk.
It's a strange one.
Fitting of a club known as the Hornet. So confusing.
It is a bit. I thought they should go with the Hornet. Yeah. That was moving.
Although have you seen that Hornet statue outside the Harlequin shopping centre in Watford? I appreciate this is very niche.
That is very
there
niche,
is a giant statue of a Hornet and it haunts my dreams, that thing. What? Don't do that. Real ones. It's horrible.
Yeah. It's not very nice, is it?
No.
Are unlovable.
I'd have thought on the badge Elton tickling the ivories.
Get big Elton John on there.
Yeah, you can still have a moose in there if you want. Just enjoying the
tune. Get a hornet with Elton John's glasses playing Rocket Man on a piano.
Oh, yeah, with Rocket Man. It's just musical notes.
Yeah, little musical notes. A musical stave.
Yeah.
And Amanda Staveley.
So you think that... Is the badge, it's keeping the badge, do you think that goes in good stead for them away to Southampton, PT?
Yeah, I think it's very much going to be playing on their minds. They're not going to be wanting to kiss the shirt after they've scored. They're obviously going to be thinking about that quite a lot. It's going to overshadow what could be a real great football match.
They're going to be thinking, you know what, that failure to change the badge has shown a real lack of leadership,
ambition,
and
decision-making
here.
Do you think with Watford, like, obviously they shuffle the pack quite a lot there, and they're quite an intriguing club. Do you think this year it's finally, there's been too much change? Because you look at the side, they've still got some decent players.
Nah, they'll change again, and they'll be brilliant again.
Do you think?
I think you might be right, Marcus. There's something about them getting a manager they've already had has perhaps broken this streak. But yeah, it's surprising that they're so low scoring. That squad is far better than being bottom in the Premier League at the end of November.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, being beaten 3-0 again at home.
How often do we see that though?
Well, that's true.
Maybe it's just the group of players has got a bit too familiar. And to be fair to them, the signings that they made in the summer, they haven't really gelled. Mm-hmm.
But also as well, the way Watford kind of have set themselves up a little bit is, and was it Doucouré?
Yeah,
who was saying Okapu? I can't remember which one who was wanting to go to PSG.
Yeah, it was Doucouré.
Right, okay, and there could be a little bit of a vibe at Watford that it's a stepping stone club, and I know Watford fans won't thank me for saying that, but the way they do their business, there is an element of that. Now, of course, some players, Watford, you know, that standard will be the best that they achieve, which is still a hell of an achievement.
To be fair, if you are going to use a stepping stone, it's important that you don't slip off of it and fall into the river, isn't it? Which is what these. What these players are doing.
Like, well, that, I don't think that's my point. Is it? But
when you stand on an 8-0 defeat, it's like, oh, for crying God. God.
But you know what footballers can be like? They think, well, I'm just going to put my hands on hips, not really try very hard, and get my move that way. And it infuriates me. You earn a move.
Yeah.
But then some clubs will encourage them to kind of force that move through because
agents as well. That's
maybe it's the agents actually.
Well, I mean, so, you know, Kiki Sanchez Flores has had 9 league games and he's won 1.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, that's not arresting any kind of slide, really, is it?
It isn't.
That's greasing the slide.
Yeah. To take a point off Arsenal, though, of course. But with Southampton, who also took a point off Arsenal, I worry for Hasenhüttl because if it doesn't start going right, I just think he might explode.
Yeah.
You know, I think he clearly is a very passionate man. You could imagine him giving the players a bit of a bollocking when they need it, but also giving a bit of a rousing speech and so on. But if it doesn't happen, I could see him getting even more red in the face and angry. Mm. And actually, my fear for Southampton would be the players just going, sod you. Don't talk to me like that, even though we're getting beat 9-0 or whatever.
Yeah. There's been a lot of changes in the backroom staff, in a sense. It's like there's been a lot of people getting chucked out who've been there for, you know, decades and been replaced with new people. So that's not an ideal situation for any kind of football club, but it's going to be interesting to see where these two sit at the end of the weekend.
Yeah, well, perhaps some lazy journalism. Get Mark Hughes back there.
Yeah. That's all you need, mate.
Peter Reid.
I think. Oh, no.
David O'Leary? He used to be one of those, didn't he? He was in the rotation.
Yeah.
Not for a while.
That's the whole joke.
That is the joke, everybody.
That's the joke, guys.
Thanks, everyone. Keep supporting live comedy.
Guys.
Jim Campbell wins.
And let's have a Betway's 4 to Score, PED.
Yes, each week we're going to be participating in 4 to Score, a fun little game and a chance to win a huge prize for charity. 4 to Score entry is free. All you need to do is pick the first goal scorer in Betway's 4 selected matches each round. If you are correct, you can win up to £250,000 this week. Head to betway.com/4 to Score. That's /4 and then to score. Make sure your selections are submitted before the first game because that's how it works. Further T's and C's apply. And remember to bet the responsible way. This weekend's selections, we've gone for, in the first match, Norwich Arsenal Jim.
I've gone for Alexander Lacazette.
Okay.
He scored 2 goals against Southampton. Neither were the first. But I think he's in good form, and I think he's a good shout to score. I don't know if Arsenal will win, but
there's no way.
Sorry, I'm going into a sinkhole of depression here. Someone take over.
I'm surprised you haven't gone for a Norwich City player. Then.
Yeah. I've got the Wolves Sheffield United match. David Coote is refereeing this one, and Sheffield United have won a heck of a lot of games when he's refereed. So I think they're probably going to get the spoils on that one. So I've gone for Billy Sharp.
Ooh, no, all right.
Billy Sharp.
Maybe
Billy
coming
Sharp.
On and getting a goal.
Yeah.
I like how you've checked out I like your workings there.
Yeah, just checking out the referee. See who's, you know,
get involved.
See who's going to win.
All right.
Yeah,
fair
next
enough.
Match, Luke has got the Leicester-Everton match. He's gone for the disarmingly simple Jamie Vardy.
Yeah.
And finally for now, Marcus, you've got the Manchester United-Aston Villa match. Who have you gone for?
I'm backing my fellow Marcus Rashford.
Okay. Arrogant.
Cool. Yes. I don't think he is.
Well, yeah, it's free to play, remember. The current prize is now at 250 grand. It rolls over if no one wins it, which is very exciting. Remember to bet the responsible way.
Mm-hmm. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for Going for Gold.
So the heat is on and the time is right. It's time for you, for you to play the game. Cause people are coming, everyone's trying to be here the best that they can. To reach for the sky where the stakes are so high.
Oh, it's intense. There's only two people here.
Yeah, and we've been particularly bad this season.
Ah, you really have, guys, but I love you all the same. Sam Hornsey from Geelong
in
Australia. He says he loves my work. So have a bit of that, you guys. I think he's just trying to get on the podcast.
Which work? Your art?
Absolute. I was born on October 24th, 1975.
Okay.
So very much in our wheelhouse, guys.
Oh, yeah. Stop. Harry Kuehl.
No.
So obvious.
Stop. Jason Newell. It's going to be in one day.
All the rhymers.
Why is it going to be him?
Jason Newell and Harry Kuehl. I represented my country 33 times, scoring 9 goals.
Stop. No. Carry on.
How many times was it?
33 times, scoring 9 goals.
Okay.
At the age of 22, I left my boyhood club to replace Hernan Crespo, who'd been sold to Parma.
Stop, Robbie Keane. No.
Piss off. Piss off.
Sorry. He scored.
See that
50
piss
goals.
Off.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Yep.
Obafemi Martins?
No.
What am I talking about?
Don't berate yourselves, guys.
No,
the best players don't beat themselves up.
Yeah, but mine was a particularly bad guess.
All right. In my mid-20s, I moved to the Premier League, becoming my club's record signing. Next clue.
Like that, is it?
When I moved to England, I had short hair, but ended up growing it out because I couldn't speak English and I couldn't tell my hairdresser what I wanted.
Bloody hell.
During my career, I played alongside such names as Pablo Aimar, Javier Saviola, David Ginola, and Rafael Marquez, Thierry Henry, and David Beckham.
Ooh.
Ooh, baby.
Diego Forlan?
Incorrect.
Oh, I didn't say stop, did I?
Sorry.
So I'll get another go.
I was regarded as the worst penalty taker in the Premier League history, with a conversion rate of just 50%, and I once managed to miss 2 penalties in the same game.
Oh, God, we should know this straight away.
Stop. Rafael Santa Cruz.
No.
Right, he's never that old.
Yeah, right sort of... Wheelhouse. This is the last clue, guys.
Two in the same game.
I was the all-time leading goal scorer for New York Red Bulls until Bradley Wright Phillips.
Juan Pablo Angel.
Marcus Speller wins.
Well done, Marcus.
Thanks, cousin.
You've saved our blushes there.
Going for gold.
Yeah, he did. I remember the penalties now.
Yeah, do you? Yeah.
Now you do. Now you've remembered. Yeah. Now you got an extra clue.
Yeah, you know, I was right on and on.
Hang on, you thanked me a moment ago.
I did, and then you ruined it.
It is right to give me thanks and praise, Jim. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to the preview show, sponsored by Betway on Football Ramble Daily, of course. Jonathan Wilson and myself are back tomorrow with Greatest Games. Oh, it's going to be a good one. Thanks, PED.
Yeah,
thanks,
bye.
Jimmy C.
You're welcome.
Yeah, see ya.
This was a Stakhanov production.
Vote for us in the FSA Awards, you pigs!
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.